You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum?
That's correct.
That was my grandfather, Irv Rosenbaum, when I went out to Florida to visit him. I love that guy. He's 93, suffering from Alzheimer's. So support Alzheimer's. Go online. Donate. We got to find a cure for that for sure. Thank you guys for listening to the show. As I always say, I have loyal fans out there, loyal listeners. I see you at conventions. It really helps when you tell your friends and they tell their friends about the show. So subscribe. Please get people to subscribe. I sound desperate. Tyler's here with me today. Rob's not around. Tyler, we just want to get more listeners. We want to build it and build it. We need the help of our friends here.
Yeah, for sure. I think you guys need a hashtag.
Hashtag help.
Yeah, hashtag help Michael.
Yeah, exactly. No, I love it. And just spreading the word. We got a great show tonight, as always, or today, depends on when you're listening to it. But Kevin Nealon, Saturday Night Live, Hans and Franz. Remember Subliminal Guy? I don't know, you were a little too young, Tyler, but he was the guy who would like go out with a girl. You're like, no, I don't know, maybe we can go out to dinner. I don't know, maybe get some dessert, hot sex, and maybe just see what else happens the rest of the night, hot sex. And he was amazing. He lounged here. He took a nap, I think, during some point of the interview. We talked about everything. I really felt like he thought he was my therapist, and he said at one point that he wanted to help me. I could see concern in his eyes, Tyler, that I needed help. Like he wanted to help me. He goes, Michael, I want to help you.
Did you guys get there? Did he solve all your issues?
He didn't solve all of them, but I think every guest I have takes the pain away just a little. I have a great life. I have all this, but you know, we have demons and we try to get rid of them. So why don't we get inside of Kevin Nealon?
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Who did you listen to growing up? What were some of the concerts you went to?
Chicago. Big Chicago.
Yeah, me
fan.
Too. Chicago and Beach Boys.
Oh, Chicago. Yeah, I love the Beach Boys. Chicago is probably my favorite of all time because I just remember as a little boy, you know, dad broke in a Thunderbird and me in the backseat driving from state to state and hearing, if you leave me now.
Yeah.
And very nostalgic.
Oh, yeah.
79 Thunderbird.
Yeah.
He had that until probably 04. He kept it around.
He did.
I think that's why I have a van out front. I don't know if you noticed or if you were creeped out at all.
No, I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
No.
Yeah, you parked right next to it.
I parked next to it.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you weirded out by him taking pictures?
No.
You're not?
No, I've had that done before.
You have?
Yeah. Thank you so much for the coffee.
Thanks, Jess.
I got to cut back on the coffee, man.
Dude, you drink too much coffee?
I drink too much coffee, and I don't want to start waiting in lines at Starbucks for coffee. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know what it is? I noticed that, you know, you're a stand-up comedian. It's got to be the worst job in terms of you're always tired. You're always out late. Every time I saw you at the clubs doing stand-up, I remember that one night I was actually honored. You go, hey, Mike, would you mind if I go in front of you? I'm going to do it anyway.
I said that?
But you asked. It's like I'm like Kevin Nealon. This guy's a legend. He's asking me if he can go in front of me.
Yeah, probably because I couldn't stay up late that night.
I think I've had a lot of guests on the show.
How long have you been doing this? 8 years. 8 years.
No, since really since June, I guess, of last year was when we really kicked in. That was like the real.
You got the nice mics and everything, man.
Yeah, we do it right. And, you know, we were doing video and I was like, you know, it doesn't. People don't get really. They don't get intimate when you have videos as much, right? If there was a video camera here, would you feel a little like it was too much?
Well, it's funny when you do radio interviews and stuff. You know what it's like? They'll have like a camera there, and you forget about it after a while. You forget that it's there.
So you're saying I should have cameras?
You really should document all of this, especially to capture this little library entertainment room. You're a collector, man. I feel for you because you become when you collect anything, you become a slave to it, don't you?
Well, I'm not a hoarder.
No, but you're close to it. Only because you have a little more shelf space in here left still.
No, listen. I am very good about discarding things. That was from Smallville. That's a mask I wore when I fought
that's
myself.
That's where I know you from.
How Smallville. Dare you, sir? By the way, you know where we met?
I don't remember exactly where it was.
Carrie Fisher's house.
That's right.
And we started seeing each other more and more. And you're like, oh, you know, I'd say, hey, Kev, good to see you. Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah. You know,
but you were like 17 or something.
No. I'm 47, so I was probably, you know, she kind of saved me. I was, you know, I was drinking a lot. I was doing, you know, her daughter Billy was a fan of the show at the time, and so I sent her an autograph. And she sent me a picture of her from Return of the Jedi, you know, when she's almost naked, and it's in my office. It says, "Blow me, Carrie." And we just became friends. And so she would say, "Oh my God, I'm having a party. Come over." And then that's how it all began.
Yeah. Those parties were amazing, weren't they? In that house.
How would you explain to people who don't know Carrie Fisher, which is most people?
Well, I have a similar story to you. I used to collect memorabilia for auction items, whereas you collect it to keep for yourself. I collect it to give to, you know, to charities. The Psychology Today magazine came out with Carrie Fisher's picture on the front of it, talking about bipolarism. And I asked her if she would sign it as an auction item. She said, sure. She signed it. I looked at it later. It says, "You're an asshole, Carrie Fisher."
That was for charity.
Yeah. So needless to say, I kept it.
You kept it.
I've kept a lot of things that I got autographs for charities. Like when I was on SNL, that's where you should have said, "Oh, that's where I know you from." But anyway, I asked Kurt Cobain, and I had one of the PAs run down and get me like an unauthorized autobiography of Kurt Cobain.
Right.
I would do that. I did that for Paul McCartney too. When he was on, I had the PA go down and get a couple of albums, you know, like that Paul signed for me.
You have Paul McCartney's autograph?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got his autograph.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, he comes back with a book. It's an unauthorized biography of Kurt Cobain. I asked Kurt if he would sign it. He's walking down the hallway, Studio 8H. And yeah, he said, sure. And he signed it, he wrote in it, and he gave it back to me. I didn't look at it for about, you know.
Till he died?
Maybe till he died. And it looked like a third grader was writing in it. It said, "I am not Liberace, comma, Kurt Cobain."
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't know what that meant, but.
Do you have it up in your, Rob got this at a bookstore, a signed copy of your book.
I bought a used copy.
What is it called?
"You're Pregnant." Pregnant.
Yeah. That's funny.
And it's autographed. Is that really your autograph?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is.
It says, the name of the book is "Yes, You're Pregnant, But What About Me?"
Right.
When my wife was pregnant,
yeah.
I had a book deal. I didn't know what to write about. And then she got pregnant. I thought, well, I'm certainly kind of journaling a lot about this. Maybe I should write about my feelings, like going through a pregnancy
right. As
the husband. And I would sign these books to people. I always put "use protection."
Is that what he says?
Yep. To Josephine and Garth, "use protection."
And they sold this book.
Wait, what's this say down here?
"Please, please use the right rubber."
I don't know who signed that. That's not me.
Maybe it's just their friend.
Maybe somebody resold it and signed it for them.
Resold and said, "But that's your autograph."
Yeah. It's come full circle back to me.
Back to Rob.
You can have it.
There it is. Now, how many of those? Do you still have a lot of those books at your house?
No, I have none left.
You don't really collect anything.
I try not to. I have guitars that accumulate in my house, you know, that I somehow get, but I'm not looking for them. Maybe a couple of them I kind of, you know, had made for me. I just feel like it's such, you become a slave to it. Like if you collect snow globes or, you know, whatever, people then will start sending it to you. You know, like they want. And then you
have
nowhere to put it. And then you feel like if you go somewhere, you got to get something.
Well, first of all, I think there's always room for a snow globe.
Well, totally. Yeah.
You know, they're small usually.
Yeah. I mean, just think if there's ever like a drought, you always have that water in the snow globe to drink. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. You made me a little self-conscious because I do have like these. You see a lot of hockey jerseys. There's probably 10 hockey jerseys. But like I haven't received a hockey jersey in a long time. This is a Brett Burns. He's my buddy. Usually they're friends or heroes of mine that I've played with in a charity game or whatever. And so I put them up. So
are you from Canada?
No, but my dad
How
used
do you
to
play hockey?
That's very true, right? My dad was president of the hockey league in Indiana. And so he used to ship me up to camp, a hockey camp in Canada.
Nice.
I said Indiana to Canada. So that's how I got better, but I realized I wasn't good enough. Even though I got like part scholarship offer to play hockey, I realized at a young age I was decent where I was from. But the level of, you know, the players are just so much better in Canada.
Yeah, man, I used to love playing hockey growing up. I grew up in Connecticut on a lake. In southern Connecticut, the lake would freeze. The coves would freeze during the winter. Even the whole lake would freeze sometimes. But we'd play hockey in the coves. We'd shovel the snow off the ice. And I had hockey skates. And I just loved every winter. I would go down and see what the new hockey sticks look like. And eventually it started getting laminated and they started curving the stick a little bit.
Yep.
You know, and I thought, wow, this is cool, man. I'm gonna get one of these.
When's the last time you skated?
A couple months ago.
You skated?
Yeah.
But not hockey. You don't play
hockey.
Right?
No. No.
I didn't even know. I should have assumed that you were an athlete. But you were like a quarterback in college.
Well,
you've played some sports. You're an athlete.
Yeah. I played soccer in college for 3 years. I played rugby for 3 years, and I played football for one season at Fairfield University.
Now, I saw you hop out of your Tesla about 20 minutes ago, and you looked pretty smooth. Like, you didn't look like you were struggling. For someone who plays sports their whole life, I struggle. I've had a lot of surgeries.
Have you really? What did you have done?
I just had an artificial disc put in my neck 3 months ago. I have had 2 fusions, 5 back surgeries.
Because you want to be taller? Is that what you're doing?
Yes. I'm trying to grow a few inches.
You weren't hurting at all. You just wanted to be taller.
That's exactly what it is.
An artificial disc, meaning some kind of a ceramic or plastic or titanium?
It's titanium, and they put it in your, they go through your throat, the front of it. So they move all your esophagus or whatever the hell they do. I'm not a doctor.
I think up there is the stomach, I think, and the neck.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm not a doctor.
You could be right. It's the larynx. Yeah.
So how do you feel now?
Fair to horseshit.
Really?
It was more traumatic than they thought. They took the disc out. There was a lot of nerves rattled. And so now I got some nerve pain. So they're saying it was sort of, I'll have a couple more months and I'll be good to go. But I was hoping that I'm swimming. I'm doing a lot. I work. What are you looking at me for, Rob? You're judging me.
But what are you like, 53 now?
I'm 46.
46, okay.
Yes.
Okay, I was off a little bit.
Yes. But let me ask you this. By the way, you like the Carrie Fisher? She gave me that.
I saw that. That's amazing.
She goes, hey, take this. I go, what do you want me to put it? She goes, take it. You like this shit. That's the Force Awakens chair. Isn't that cool?
That's so cool.
She was the best.
Her ass was on that chair.
Her ass was on that chair many times. Yeah. But I look at you and I'm thinking, I wonder if he's like me where you just... Do you miss the days where you want to get out and play football? You want to get out and do this, but you're like, you know what? I just shouldn't do that.
Well, I used to play basketball a lot, with buddies like Gary Shandling and stuff.
Sandler, right?
Yeah, Sandler. And I played a lot. And just recently, I've just realized I can't play anymore. Like you say, I get out of that car smoothly. First of all, for a tall person to get out of that car is hard because the way they're designed.
Then why'd you buy that?
Because I like the way they look. It's comfortable inside. I thought I'd never have to get out of it. But I did. I found out today I had to get out of it. Because until I came here today, I was in that car for the last 3 years. Talk about hoarding. Do you ever go buy a car that's got so much crap in it? The guy lives in there and it's just like, just hoarding. They got styrofoam cups everywhere. So I'm driving over here with an ice pack.
Come on.
Yeah.
Is this true?
Yeah.
This part's true.
Yeah. This is true, man. I'm a walking structure of ailments.
I don't smile often. Thank you.
You know what it is? It's just patchwork as you get older. You just keep repairing stuff. It's like an old apartment building. You just got to keep fixing it,
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, I got to tell you, I'm happy to have you here. Like, you're one of the, I'm excited to have certain guests. Kristen Bell was on here and, a lot of big guests. But to me, I was watching SNL. I was watching you. I just was always like, this guy is brilliant. I've seen your stand-up. I've seen you. I'm not going to sit here and kiss your ass. I mean, I sort of am right now. But, I always just really thought you were a funny guy, like naturally just funny. Were you always like the goofball? Were you always, because you were the quarterback. You had to get laid a lot. You're probably cool at some point in your life. I mean, you're still cool.
Right, right.
But you know what I mean? I mean,
first of all, A, you are right. I am funny. B, did not get laid a lot.
Is that true? Or are you just saying that to me?
No, that's true. That's true.
I didn't get laid a lot.
Were you raised Jewish, right?
I wasn't really raised Jewish. I had a bar mitzvah, but that was just for the money.
Yeah, for me, I was raised with that whole thing about you got to go by the book and make sure you don't get anybody pregnant. It'll ruin your life. So I had a fear in me.
The Catholic,
really
raised Catholic.
That. Yeah.
Grab that pillow, put it behind your head. You're making me uncomfortable.
Oh.
I think you're going to be more comfortable with that behind your
really?
Head. Yeah. You how about Jersey?
Do you have a blanket?
Well, I just feel like I want you to be comfortable. How is that?
Oh, that's nice, man. You're right.
Here, put a blanket over Kevin.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. Maybe get a picture of Kevin napping during this podcast. I think that'd be
Well,
really
you
nice.
Wake me up when it's over.
Sure. Sure. So now we're going to start my meditation app. Kevin?
This would be a good therapist's office up here.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What was that thing you talked about on Stern about the, where you're being hypnotized?
You mean the Sandler thing we recorded?
Oh, yeah.
The hypnotist.
That's what it was. You ever listen to that, Rob? It's been told a million times. Just fucking listen to it. It's brilliant.
Are you doing stand-up still?
I went up like 50 times last year, and I was just like, here's my problem. I felt like for someone who was just starting, I'm going to toot my own horn. I felt like, hey, you're doing a good job for, you know, just starting, you know, going up.
Yeah, you were
up.
Getting spots and everything.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, people were laughing. I didn't think I was sucking. Can you get him another coffee? I think he's asleep. But, you know, I was intimidated. I was intimidated by the likes of you and Joe Rogan and all these guys. And so what happened was I felt like I was in fight or flight every day. I'd wake up and I'd be stressed out.
Well, isn't that the role of a comic anyway?
Right. You don't seem like that. I mean, look at you. You're sleeping here on the couch.
People always say, you know, what? How do you get laughs? It's all fear-based.
Come on.
It's all like fear, like me. It's like me and think I'm funny. And
you
get
still
this.
Have that?
Sort of.
You yeah. still go up on stage and go, please like this, please like me.
Well, I think subconsciously I'm thinking that. Of course, I'm not thinking don't like this, you know. I'm thinking like this, like me.
Were you ever like incredibly nervous where it was impeding on your set or impeding on getting up? Sometimes I would like, honestly, when you guys are in the green room and everybody's talking and laughing, sometimes I would go to the bathroom and quietly throw up. and just act cool because I'm like, oh yeah, I'm one of you guys. I'm cool. But yeah. I wasn't cool. So I felt like I didn't fit in exactly.
We all saw that.
Did you?
Yeah, we saw right through that.
I believed it. See?
Yo, by the way, how do you throw up quietly? I have the loudest throw up. It's like, roar! I mean, it's loud.
You puke like my little puppy.
Yeah. I mean, it comes, it's projectile too.
Because it's like, it's a gag thing. It's like, you know, it wasn't a full on, but it was like, why am I throwing up? I don't like this feeling. And people are like, hey, dude, you can throw up. This is what people do. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories. You know, I'd go to the bathroom a lot. And then I'd have a little whiskey, and I'd go up, and I'd do 20 minutes. And then afterwards, I'd go, oh, my God, let's go to Mel's Diner. I feel great. Yeah. This is a great feeling. And I wouldn't get to bed till 2, and I'd wake up, and I'd have the same feeling that you think a normal person would be like, hey, you did well.
I get it, man.
Why would that fear kind of go away after a while?
Because it does. It's like anything else. Like, I had claustrophobia for a while. I got it at SNL when they were making a Jay Leno mask on me, a plaster mask. And it got really hard, the plaster, and, you know, got started getting hot, and I just kind of freaked out, and I passed out in the chair. And then I said, well, let's try it again, because I didn't want to, you know, have that feeling again. So they kept my hands outside the plastic. They turned the radio up loud. I almost had it again. But from that, I developed claustrophobia. I got stuck in subways in between, you know, platforms. I get really freaked out and couldn't go places.
Wait a minute. But you said you faced your fear and let's do it again with the mask. And you think that would help you overcome it?
That's what I thought. But I think I was still kind of rattled from the first one. And that was a carryover into my life where I couldn't go places. If I had too many layers of clothes on, I would get a little nervous because I feel like I couldn't get them off in time, you know? Or it got to the point where I was starting to get agoraphobic. I would drive from my house and I'd see traffic on the other side of the freeway backed up. And I think, oh my God, how am I going to get back? So I went to see a doctor in the Valley, and he taught me breathing methods. But also the big takeaway was you can't avoid the things that scare you. You got to keep doing it. And I would get on elevators, you know, I'd get on planes. I'd get in, you know, small, you know, rooms that I had to stay in, you know, until this thing was over or whatever it was. But that's what I'm saying about comedy. I had the same fear as you. I was in the bathroom all the time. I was pacing, you know.
Do I know my material? Runs.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, I was young, that much younger at the time. So everybody else was experienced and, you know, there was agents and stuff. But anyway, I kept getting up. And that was the best advice somebody gave me when I started it. He said, get up as often as you can. Just keep getting up. So that's what I did.
So you're saying that You were claustrophobic and you go and kept facing your fear.
Yeah.
And that was your doctor's suggestion.
Yeah.
And you listened to him, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I went to a behavioral therapist, Kevin, and he's like, which I don't understand. I've been on stage.
For what? A behavioral therapist because of your fear of stand-up?
For just like, why do I have this fear? Why do I feel this way? Why I can't come? And he came up with the conclusion. He goes, because you're a perfectionist. You can't fail. You, in your head, you have to be either great or nothing. And it's a fantasy. That's not real. And you need to fail. You need to learn to fail. You need to embrace failure. Inside of You is brought to you by Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. This is an amazing platform. I use it on both podcasts. It has worked wonders for me. It's so amazing how easy it is to navigate. If you want to sell products, t-shirts, soap scents, whatever it is, Ryan, you want to sell, this is the way to do it. You could see what your bestseller is right there, analytics, how much you're making this month, what products are selling the best. It's really fantastic. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage, Shopify's there to help you grow.
Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered.
Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star.
Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way.
Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/inside, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/inside now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/inside. Inside of You is brought to you by Netflix. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Friday, May 3rd, only on Netflix.
Were you a good boy growing up? Could you handle criticism if people yelled at you?
Oh my God, let's do this. Let's do it. No, I want you to do this.
Only because my son is like that. I just went to a teacher's conference this morning and she said he's...
Rebellious?
Not rebellious. No, the opposite. He's a rule follower. He wants to please. And he's, you know, if he gets yelled at, it's really brutal.
I'm someone who's always sort of like lashed out and did things that just kind of pissed people off.
Oh, so you were rebellious.
I was a little rebellious in
that
sense.
How is that being a perfectionist?
I followed the law. I followed my dad's rules. I was a good kid.
Didn't kill anybody.
But it was so overwhelming and he was so, no, I didn't kill anybody. But he was so like hard on me, you know? Never ever did I hear the words, "I am proud of you. You're good, you're smart, you're nothing." I mean, when I say zero, I'm not like complaining because I'm an adult now. But I never got that. And what I did get was like, "Dad, I got 3 goals in that hockey game." It's like, "Well, it was a weak goalie."
Oh,
so that's the, what I had my whole life. But I managed to go do tons of theater in college, movies, TV, all this stuff. So, but I've always had that fear. Even after like 7 seasons on Smallville, even I would get nervous. No one would know. They thought I was Mr. Confidence. I'm the guy who's going to get all the dialogue. But yeah. I'm like always like so much energy is expelled because I'm, you know?
Yeah. That's why you collect stuff. It gives you a sense of control. Look, I'm not a therapist, but I'm going to charge you for one.
But I want you to help me out here. This is interesting because I didn't know you had. I look at you, somebody's like, "Oh, this guy's had confidence his whole life."
I think that's the way we perceive a lot of people. We think they got it all together. And then if you get to know them, you realize they're struggling just like everybody else.
Do you still struggle?
With certain things, yeah.
What do you struggle with?
Sometimes I'm constipated, you know, and I struggle with that.
I think we all struggle.
No, I don't know.
Are you a guy that gets personal?
I think time management is my struggle.
Time management. Like you do too much. Like you said you do this podcast, but you don't have time for it.
Exactly. I'm driving over thinking, why did I tell him yes? Why did I say I don't have the time today? I'm not going to enjoy it. It's all true.
There's no parking on the street.
There's no parking on the street.
He's a hoarder.
Yeah. He'll probably put me on a shelf. But yeah, I think time, I try to do too much in one day, I think. I have for some reason, I have this real desire to keep creating and just keep accomplishing things.
But isn't it exhausting?
It's, you know what else? It's not enjoyable because I'm not watching any kind of shows on TV. I'm not, you know, everybody's talking about different shows on TV. I'm like doing this. I'm editing that. I'm writing that. I'm drawing this, you know.
But like, how old are you?
65. And
no.
Yeah.
Rob, look at him. You look, no. Let me tell you something. You get facials. You have to get, your skin's really facials. Good. You
I
have
don't.
Almost no wrinkles.
You know what it is?
What is it?
It's
a lot of sex?
No, it's night cream.
I put that on too.
Yeah, what is yours made out of?
Moisturizer.
No, any sperm?
I hope not. Oh, but if it's working, I'll fuck it. Yeah. If yeah. it works, you know, it's, but I look at you and I'm like going, you don't look 65. My dad, I hope he doesn't listen to this.
Yeah.
He's 66.
God, he's old.
67. He's 67.
He's getting older.
You're 10 years younger looking. I'm not, I swear to God, Rob, would you say that?
Yeah, I agree.
Look at the
yeah.
guy.
Well, you're looking at a boring life. I know I go to bed pretty early.
No, you just said your days are filled.
Yeah,
Kevin.
They are filled, but not filled with liquor, not filled with sitting out
you
in the sun.
You don't drink.
I have a couple, you know, a glass of wine every once in a while.
You smoke pot?
No.
Well, you were on that show Weeds.
Yeah. But, you know, the people in the Sopranos didn't kill people. You know, it's fake.
I'm aware of that. But I look at you and you're saying, for a second, I'm like, you don't watch TV shows. You don't, you just focus on creating and doing this. But don't you feel like all
But
of
I do
sudden,
enjoy that too, by the way.
You do, but yeah. Aren't you like, can you just vacation? Can you just do nothing? Can you just be present?
Yeah. I'm going skiing tomorrow for the weekend.
Who are you going with?
My son.
Really?
He's 12.
You guys are close?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. You got to have a kid. How old are you?
I'm 46.
Are you 46? You don't look 46.
Yeah, you're just saying that.
I got a brother who's 57, and you look at least a year younger than him.
Oh, my God, that hurts. I put this bomb, this CBD bomb.
No, you
CBD
look good,
bomb.
Too. You look good, too. You take care of yourself.
Well, you know, I try to, but I had...
Stop drinking?
Well, I'm not a big drinker. I don't smoke. I don't, you know, I don't do many drugs.
You exercise?
I smoke a little bit. I do exercise.
Smoke tobacco?
Occasionally, I have a cigarette. Did you ever smoke?
No.
See, that's probably really good for you.
You know why I don't smoke?
I mean, you didn't smoke.
I heard it causes cancer.
Yeah.
And that's something I don't want.
That's pretty logical, isn't it, Rob? If you just think about it, hey...
I don't know, what is it with younger people? I hate to sound like an old guy, but a lot of younger Europeans also smoke a lot.
Yeah.
They didn't get the message?
No. You know, things happen like 20 years later over there.
I guess, man. I see you have a lot of books on your bookshelf here.
Yeah.
Are these just for show?
Yeah, there's nothing on the inside.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I will tell you some of the books there. My uncle, Dave, wrote a book called Miami Ice about the Florida Marlins. That's a great book. If They Don't Win, It's a Shame was another Dave Rosenbaum book.
You're a baseball fan?
I like baseball, but he likes it more. He wrote the book. You know, friends who have written books here. I like Brando. That was my college graduation present. My parents got me Marlon Brando. I was really upset because I wanted a car.
Did he sign it?
Well, not Brando. My parents signed it. I think my mom signed it. And
have you read it yet?
Yeah. No, I read this. But this was my present. I was expecting a car. And it says, Michael, congratulations on your college graduation. Hope you're as famous as Brando someday. Love, Mom and Dad.
P.S. Once again, that goalie was weak.
Oh, P.S. Weak goalie.
Weak goalie.
But I like history. You know, John Adams. You know, I like, I definitely like, I watch a lot of documentaries on Hitler.
I have a book sitting on my windowsill that I can't wait to read.
What is it called?
It is a biography on Leonardo da Vinci.
Really?
By, I think, the guy that wrote John Adams. David
McCullough.
McCullough.
Yeah.
I think that's him. Rob, look that up.
Rob, what are you doing? Jeez.
Get on that. Look, get on that, man.
He's 29. He's already got a kid. You're talking about...
You got a kid already at 29?
Dude, 2-year-old.
Wow.
Jesus.
You
right?
sure you're the father?
I think so. He looks a lot like me.
I'm 46, no kids.
Do you want kids, though?
Well, wait a minute. You were 53 when you had your first,
correct.
Right? So there's still hope for me.
Oh, God, yeah.
Did you ever think, no way, I'm too old to have kids. I'm not going to have kids. I feel like shit.
I was starting to question whether I would. I didn't feel like. I felt pretty good, but yeah.
So you're a deep thinker, aren't you?
Sometimes.
You like to get deep? Do you like to have conversations? Do you like trivial shit? Like, we, you know, we're talking about some deep stuff, I guess. But do you talk about stupid things? Are you immature Always. At all? Have you ever been immature?
Yeah. I'm juvenile.
Are you juvenile?
Yeah. Yeah,
you are you a great listener?
Yeah. Although sometimes I zone out.
Yeah. Like now?
No, I'm really, for some reason, I'm really tuned in.
Well, I wanted to get deep, man. Well, we haven't really gotten deep. But, you know, look, I talked to you about this before. Saturday Night Live. You talk about that all the time. Who is the funniest person you think ever on Saturday Night Live? If you have to say, because look,
first
don't worry.
Of all, I
Sandler's
hate,
not going to listen to this.
Of all,
you hate that question?
I hate that when they, like Rolling Stone, they rank everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do that with comedy because it's subjective. Somebody said, you know, if they said, do you think Carrot Top's funny? Does he make people laugh? Is he making a great living from it? Then yeah, he's funny.
Well, okay, well, I'll give you an analogy. If somebody said, hey, who is the nicest person on Smallville? I could answer that. Since you worked on SNL, isn't that like your employee, fellow employees?
I could tell you the people that I like hung out with and I enjoyed their company, but not necessarily the funniest person or, you know.
Who would you go, is there anyone you'd go see because you're just like, I want to, because I'm going to laugh. They're going to make me laugh. I want to go see the rehearsal. I want to go see whatever it is. I want to always watch this person. Was there some of those?
Yeah, there's a few of those people, you know. Sure, Dana Carvey.
Of course.
And my bat's right there. And Adam Sandler, Chris Farley. Everybody's got a son, you know, Spade. Everybody's really funny in their own way. And that's the thing about comedy. You can't just have one that you like because, you know, you get tired of it. You need to have a little... You know, you don't collect just Star Wars stuff. You collect a lot of stuff.
Yeah, also Nightmare on Elm Street and Evil Dead.
What if in your basement you had like faces of real people that you collected? And they were autographed by them too.
And you found out about it.
You were some kind of a like, you were some kind of a memorabilia serial killer. You would kidnap the celebrity, have them sign their face, and then you would kill them and rip their face off and
freeze them. By the way. I like writing horror, and that's actually kind of the memorabilia killer.
Yeah. You don't want to be labeled as a serial killer, like, because then, you know, like, let's say you're the Hillside Strangler.
Right.
Now the guy feels like he's got to kill everybody on the hillside.
That's and he's got to strangle them.
He's got to strangle them. What happens if he shoots like, somebody in the flatlands?
I'm tired. I want to just, you know, put a, you know, a bullet here.
Yeah,
I agree. But so, like, you named some people. Before you came on SNL, who were you, like, really looking at?
Well, I would tell you this. I was a big fan of Albert Brooks, Andy Kaufman, and Steve Martin because they were each unique in their own way and so original. You didn't see other people doing stuff like them. You know, I love those guys. And then I came out here and I got to meet all of them. And two of them now are my friends. One of them is deceased, but I got to talk to him. And I was a bartender at the Improv for a couple of years back in 1980. So I got to see all these people come in and out and hang out, you know, Robin Williams.
And they were nice to you, always kind?
Yeah, but they were all caught up in that world of comedy and, you know, the excitement of that. And there's a lot of coke flying around back then, too. So, you know, I asked Andy Kaufman once out in front of the Improv on Melrose. I said, can you tell me a little bit about TM? Because I knew he meditated, you know. So for a half hour, he talked about TM. Talk about listening. I didn't listen to anything he said. I was just looking at his face, the moles on his face as he was talking.
And he was so into it.
Yeah.
Do you do TM?
Yeah. Doing it right now.
I meditate intermittently. I feel like when I do.
You do ITM, intermittent.
Intermittent.
Transcendental meditation.
Yeah. That's exactly what I do. Yeah. But I feel like, you know, it's hard for me to be present. And when I am, I feel it. It feels good. It feels good to be like, because my mind does wander. I'm talking to someone and I hate it. Sometimes I'm just like, and then I drift away. Like you were saying, you were talking to Andy Kaufman. Like, I think you were so overwhelmed by this moment, right? You just couldn't think of anything.
What will make you happy eventually? What will you look back and say, wow, I've done it. This is what I wanted. Family?
God,
a movie career?
See how he throws that around on me?
No, I'm just curious.
I mean, look, who gives a shit at the end of the day? Like when it comes to, that's what I'm struggling with right now. I'm like, you know, I acted. I did a good job. I made money. I had fun. I think I'm good. I don't think, oh my God, I wasn't good. Or I tried this.
Right.
I did this. I was, whatever. I don't know if that's enough for me to go, oh, wow, that was a great life. I have to really enjoy it. And I don't think I enjoy some things that...
Did you say you're 47?
Six.
You're 46?
Yeah. I'll be 47. But what I'm saying is I don't think I... I'm not sure... I think people assume I enjoy things
I assumed you were like 33 or something.
Come on, that's not true.
I did, really.
Swear to God?
Yeah, I swear to it. Just because of your behavior, you know. No, well, seriously. Yeah,
but you're right.
No, you carry yourself like you're kind of like me, you know, you kind of dress younger and yeah.
I wish I was more like you. I think you have your shit together. Whatever it is, you went through all these things, you worked them out. You have a mature way of looking at things. I think you had a good upbringing, I assume.
I did. I got really lucky there.
Did your dad say, Kevin, I love you? Kevin, I'm proud of you? Kevin, that goalie was really good. I don't know how you did it.
No, not really. He didn't do that. And I didn't really hear the I love you that much growing up. You know, but I knew it was there. I knew we had that love.
Actions. You
know? What's missing in your life right now?
See, this
you
is exactly
like anything's missing.
It becomes a therapy session for me. So it always this is good. It always turns around
because you're that kind of person that people you know want to help.
I wish you'd help me. I wish you could mentor me. I think you know enough that you've seen this before. You've seen this sort of behavior.
Well, I see. You know, here's a guy, 47.
Six. I'll be 47.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. Sorry, but... You know, it's funny as I do it to him all the time.
My wife is 47. That's why I keep saying.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Oh.
But you are in a, you know, you have a nice life. You got a lot of time for yourself. You collect stuff. This is your house, right?
It is.
You live here alone?
Yeah, I'll own it in 2 years completely.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
After you sell the memorabilia.
After I sell the memorabilia.
But this is like, and then you kind of do what you want to do in life, right?
I feel like I do for the most part. I get guilty because my agents call, and it's a good problem to have. But they're like, "Hey, this is available. They want you to do this." And something happened the last few years where I don't know. It's like midlife crisis, maybe. Like I started a band. I have an album coming out in a
what
month.
Do you play?
I play guitar and sing.
Are you good?
You know what? It's funny is if you would have asked me a year ago, I go, "Hey, you know, we just play in the basement. It's a bunch of friends. They don't even know what they're doing." And after listening to the album, I'm like, yeah, I think we're pretty good.
Nice.
I like our music. I like it feels a little dated in a good way.
What when you play the guitar before the band, what cover songs would you play?
They were awful. In fact, we would play the some of the Cure. I'd play we would attempt Foreigner, which was a mistake. Lou Graham, don't fuck with that guy's voice.
Yeah,
you know, I could probably do the first verse, and then once he's like, I want to know, just done. The song's done. Let's go to the next one.
And you play like lead guitar?
No, I'm a rhythm guitarist.
Yeah.
So my friend Rob, who's the real musician of the band, he plays the lead guitar, but I just keep the rhythm going. But I play upside down and backwards.
Oh, nice.
So but that's just the way I learned to play. But
have you performed anywhere like out?
Yeah, we played at the Troubadour.
You did?
We played three songs to open for a band, and it felt, here's what my brother said. He didn't say you were good. He's very honest with me. He didn't say, dude, you're so good. Your voice is like an angel. Because it's not, I don't have a trained voice. I'm off key sometimes. I'm not but he did say this, I've never seen you have that much fun.
Yeah.
And that occurred to me that I said, even though I get scared and I'm like nervous and it's a new thing for me, I really love music. And my whole life I was like, God, man, I just can't do it because I don't sound like Adam Lambert. I don't sound like Glenn Frey. I can't play like Hendrix. I can't, why should I even attempt? I was watching Chris Stapleton on TV. And I was watching him play guitar and sing. And I'm like, why am I doing this?
I know.
But then you ask yourself, because you enjoy it.
You know, I thought that when I saw Jay Leno at the Improv when I first started. I thought, what am I doing? Or Robin Williams. I said, what am I doing here? You know? But with the music, you see a lot of actors like the Bacon Brothers and Dennis Quaid, Kevin Costner, Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
All those guys are, you know, they're living out their little dream. You know,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
David Duchovny now. You know, he's got a band. Or he's,
you know what? Do you notice that when actors get bands, it's always bluesy and... some kind of weird fucking thing that's like, I don't even really, I mean, something that's just hard to be good at anyway.
Yeah.
And they attempt it. I think they're trying too hard. I'm not saying that we're better than them. I'm saying I play music that just comes to me, not based on whether people like it. I'm sure a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
But I think people are like, oh, you sound sort of like the Wallflowers meets like the 70s with a little country in there. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound current, really. I'm like, great. I don't care. But it's just, I'm not trying to do it for anybody. What do you play? You play banjo.
I play the guitar. I play the 5-string banjo, and I'm learning the piano now.
You won't stop, though. Why are you doing all this?
Because I enjoy it.
Does your back hurt right now?
No. I'm just trying to get comfortable.
Can I help you get comfortable?
No.
It's not the most comfortable couch.
No, the couch is low.
It's low.
I'm really tall.
But I have a lot of big pillows. You could prop yourself up there.
Yeah, I could. What's the magic balm for I see next to you?
This is for my aches and pains. I'm going to give this to you because it's the H Hemp Company. And I'm going to give this.
Does it have CBD in it?
Yes.
Oh, I have some cream at home with that.
This shit, I live off it.
Can you eat it?
No, but it's for you. But listen, if you massage some of that on there within about a minute, you'll be like, holy shit, I feel really good.
Yeah. How are you with blood?
You know, I used to be fine. Now I just, when I'm my doctor takes the blood for checkups and stuff, I don't look at it.
I don't watch him do it.
Yeah. Have you ever passed out with blood, with a needle or an IV?
No, just getting that face mask, that life mask made.
That's the only time you passed out in your life.
Yeah. But I've gotten queasy before when I've gone to the nurse to give blood or something. Oh, you know what made me queasy?
What?
One of these places where they show you the blood on the screen, your little cells dancing around.
You didn't like that?
Oh, I almost passed out for that because I knew that was my blood. That's what keeps me alive.
Do you know the museum they have? You're going to keep that. You could have it.
Really?
You know, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's yours. I have so many. I'll give you two of them if you want.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're hurting for sure, right?
Oh, yeah. I have tons of that stuff. Breath spray I'll give you.
I need that.
They have like CBD breath spray. They have a tincture. You know the tinctures? You know, the drops.
Yeah, I got those at home.
Oh, I'm going to give you all three.
Really?
Yeah, I'll give them to you. Why wouldn't I? I want to help you. You're saying you want to help me. A few minutes ago, you said I want to help you.
I do.
What did you... By the way, see, this is the
do you know there's some people that you just want to, like, help?
Is that a good thing?
It's like a lost dog.
Is that a good thing? Like, it's like, I want to help him. Like, he's fucked.
But you're not, like... No,
I'm not helpless.
You're not helpless. You are... I have some friends that are just so needy. I don't know. Maybe you just look... I feel like you're searching.
I am.
You know what I mean?
Maybe I need to go hiking with Kevin.
You talk about meditation. That's a great meditation. I do so much thinking when I'm hiking alone, you know, or just get sad on a trail. Sometimes I'll just start crying on the trail until somebody comes along and then I'll smile like, hey, how's it going?
Hey,
and then back
to
crying. Yeah.
Are you a crier?
Yeah.
Swear to God.
Yeah. It's good therapy. I don't cry a lot, but you know, after a good cry, you know how good you feel?
You ever cry in front of your son?
No.
Did your father ever cry in front of you?
No.
Is there a parallel there?
Probably.
I've never seen my father cry. But my stepmom said he was writhing in pain and crying because I think he had like a kidney stone or a UTI.
But that's pain crying.
That was pain.
Yeah, that's different. Than emotional.
Yeah.
You know, I saw my father almost cry once when my grandmother was dying. And my son, I'll go to a movie with him. And if it's a sad movie, you know, animated, he'll look to me to see if I'm crying. He'll look really close to my eyes to see if I'm crying because he wants to see it.
He wants to see you cry.
Yeah.
Well, what happens? What if you did cry?
It would be fine. It's probably good if I do.
You just haven't.
I just haven't. Because my father was always like that anchor for us, you know, five kids. He was always strong and, you know, we never like questioned whether he was out of control about anything, you know.
Was he drinker at all?
No. No, he'd have like, you know, he'd have... you know, a bourbon on the rocks or something if there's a party, but he wasn't a guy who came home and had a drink, you know.
Yeah.
But he, no, I had the best dad. I wished everybody could have had my dad and my mother.
When did he pass?
8 months ago.
What?
Oh, 10 months ago now.
How old was he?
He was only 92.
I mean, that's fantastic, but it doesn't make it any easier, does it?
No. And you know, the funny thing is when he died, I thought the world would stop. And when people are still going to work, I thought, what's going on? He made it easy for us, though. You know, he kind of got a little dementia. He still knew who we are.
Has, yeah.
Still knew us all. He just stopped adding to the conversation. He had trouble finding words. He slept a lot.
Yeah, that's at the end, that's what happened. You sleep a lot.
And it's kind of like a slow, long goodbye, you know, where you kind of, he let us get used to him being gone.
That's what I'm going through with my grandfather. He's my best friend in the world. And it's like, it's almost like you're mourning slowly, these slow mourning instead of an abrupt mourning.
It's
right?
Exactly. And then when they finally pass, it's not like you're sad, but it's not like you're distraught because you were gradually saying goodbye.
Yeah. What about your mom?
My mom's 90 and she's hanging in there.
That's so funny because not funny. Ha ha, but
hilarious.
No, not hilarious.
Not even hilarious.
No, not even remotely.
Not even my humorous?
Not so much.
No, just okay. So totally wrong.
The opposite of those words.
Yeah.
My grandfather's 92 and he's going through that, and my grandma's 90 and she's still driving and doing everything for him. Wow. And she has something. So it's kind of a similar, like, she doesn't want him in a home. I'm taking care of him. I'm doing this.
She's
and
90.
It's getting to that point where it's getting rough.
Have you been to Florida?
That's where they are.
Okay. Yes. You know the silver alert down there?
What's the silver
alert? Well, it's like an amber alert, only it's for older people that are senile and they drive off in their car. It's true. They have a silver alert.
Silver alert.
Yeah. We got a Toyota Camry on the 75.
Instead of a ding, it's like Frank Sinatra comes on.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's true. So yeah, I was really lucky with my parents.
Yeah.
And I'm not, just for the record, I'm not opposed to crying in front of my son.
Yeah, you know, you said you want to help me. Again, one of those people that you say I'm not needy, but...
Back then I wanted to help you. Now, not so much.
Now, not so much. No. But what is it I need help
you're
with?
You're not needy. You're just...
Tell me.
If you feel like you're the kind of guy who's searching.
I know I am, but what am I searching for? I feel like a Chicago song. See, we've come full circle.
Well, I think, I haven't had time to analyze you that much, but I mean, I think the way you collect all this memorabilia and different... You know,
back to that, huh?
Things that it kind of tells you a lot about somebody.
What does it tell you?
You're easily impressed.
Can I tell you something? Fucking nailed it.
Is that right?
Dude, I'm so excitable when someone gets me something. I'm like, oh my God. They're like, Michael, I love how you react when someone gets you a gift. Or when someone says, I am like that. Don't you think? I'm like excitable.
Easy to please.
Yeah, I'm easy to please.
Yeah.
Just don't
you
fuck
appreciate.
Me. I appreciate things.
Yeah.
Like if I meet somebody, I'm like, oh my God, you know, you were a wrestler in 85.
Yeah.
God.
Who was the last person you met that you were just over the moon to meet and so excited? And any kind of musician? Have you ever met one of the Beatles?
No.
No?
No. I'm friends with a lot of musicians like Steve Lukather, you know, from Toto, lead guitarist.
Yeah.
He's a good buddy. Richard Marx.
Yeah.
Those guys were, you know, it was cool to meet them. I wasn't like blown away, like, you know, who blew me away? I mean, when I worked with Clint Eastwood, I was definitely over the moon.
You worked with Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, my first movie. And I remember him
saying. What was it?
It was called Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Oh, yeah.
I was the gay kid being cross-examined. It's like a 8-minute scene. And I remember him just saying, Michael, if you do what you did in that audition, it was sensational. I'll be very happy.
That was his directing.
And I just was like, yeah, I was like, you can fight. He honestly, I 8 pages of dialogue. And the only thing he said is like, maybe on this take, give a look to the jury. I'm like, that's all you want.
Close one eye.
Just look at the jury.
I kind of
remember he got upset with Kevin Spacey because Kevin was, Clint, do you want me going over there on the left behind John or in the front? I don't know if you want to go down to the cross. I was like, I can't hear you. God damn it. I said, if you want to make a, he just was easily just upset with everything Kevin was asking him on the set.
Isn't it crazy how old he is now and he's still directing?
I can't even believe it. The last one was a little rough, but I
wasn't.
It was a little rough. I thought it was going to be
great. Called The Mule?
It was called The Mule. It was a good start. It was like that one with Robert Redford.
Is he
good
90?
Start. He's probably, because I worked with him when he was 60. Yeah, I'm going to say 87.
88.
Hey, Rob's on it, man.
I think you're having more fun than you did when we first started.
False. Been going downhill since I got here.
Were you the one that said it? Now a closer look at the story.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of my favorite things ever.
Is that right? It's subtle. It's dry.
Saturday Night Live, Rob, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but when the golden years when I watched it with Kevin Nealon. And, you know, when you were on 86 to 94?
95. Yeah.
But he was the Weekend Update with Kevin, which he did from 90 to 94, I believe.
It's funny as you're talking about this now, I'm going back to being in the van when they picked us up to go to SNL for the first time from our respective homes. In the van with Victoria Jackson, waiting to pick up, I think, Dana from his apartment. And Jan Hooks was in the back. And it just feels like it was yesterday. And now you're talking about the golden years.
So there's a moment where he's just like, and now a closer look at the story. And they just zoom in on his face. And I'm telling you, I must have watched it 100 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just watched, again, one of my favorites. You were just in it. Adobe, the little car that's made out of clay.
Right.
You were just the guy looking so happy and young and youthful.
Yeah.
Hans and Franz, which I guess you sort of knew about.
I love the parody commercials. Nobody liked doing them because you had to drive out to like Hackensack, New Jersey or something.
But they were always funny.
They were funny. You know, some of them funnier than others. I like the love toilet. You know, I sat down with Victoria Jackson. Al Franken wrote that one. Colon Blow was a good one.
I didn't see the Colon Blow.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a serial that would...
Type that in. We're going to watch that after. Colon Blow.
Yeah, Colon Blow.
What was your favorite personality on that show to do? Like, was Mr. Subliminal definitely up there?
You know, that was good. Hans and Franz was good. I think Mr. No Depth Perception I liked doing. But the one... I wrote a sketch, I think, in my last season there. And I really liked this sketch. It could have been like a silent movie thing with Buster Keaton. It was, I call it the bathroom attendant. It was a bathroom attendant in a very small bathroom, just one toilet, no stall. And I was, you know, I had a tuxedo on and I was the bathroom attendant. And Harvey Keitel was hosting. He came in and he thought somebody was in the bathroom. I said, no, sir, I work here. You know, and he had to use the bathroom. And so he reluctantly came in and I said, will we be number one today or dropping anchor? He said, we'll be dropping anchor. I said, fair enough. You know, so... It was just a really awkward kind of fun
That's
sketch.
That's amazing.
To do. Yeah.
And I love potty humor. Are you a fart fan? Or are you just kind of potty humor, like that kind of stuff?
I used to love that video of that pastor. You
Me
know,
too.
Televangelist.
The expelling evangelist.
Yeah, as he was walking.
Type it in. He's like, yeah. I will tell the yeah. Lord, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I did a cut on Sandler's album called The Hypnotist. Where I was trying to cure him of smoking, and I was the farting hypnotist.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorites. Oh, yeah, because you talked about that on Stern recently.
Yeah.
And it was like every time he was trying to get really comfortable, you'd fart?
But I wouldn't fart. We would leave a space for the fart. And he would point to me every time there was supposed to be a fart. You know, he'd just point. That's where we're going to put the fart in, you know.
Look, I love Adam. Adam's like, you know... I did a movie that bombed, Sorority Boys. But I remember it came out, and Adam came up to me. This is the kind of guy he is, like much like you. He was like, hey, Sorority Boys, you're really funny. I really like that movie. You're really funny. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's the first time I met him. I'm like, you're Adam Sandler. I was like, wow, you're so humble. And after I directed this little independent raunchy movie that I did, he called me. He
goes, when you say raunchy, you mean porn?
Not that, but it was like Nick Swartz and Harlan Williams and everybody was in it. If I would have known you, I would have put you in there. I got a call and it's like, I got Adam Sandler for you. And I, no, you don't. Yeah, Adam Sandler. He's like, hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, kid.
Yeah. And he just starts going, hey, I saw the trailer for your movie. I want to bring it in. I want to check it out. Him and his wife watched. He called me in. We talked, set up a meeting with somebody else. Actually, one of the first times I met him, I was at the, you know, not talk about Adam Sandler so much, but I was at the doctor's office and I was getting some coffee. And I was on the phone. And I go, and I saw Adam again. I go, oh, hey. He's like, give me the phone. I'm like, what? It's my grandfather. He's like, give me the phone. He's like, hey, how you doing? Yeah. For like 10 minutes, he's just talking to Irv, who's like 80 at that point. He's like, all right, yeah, this is Adam Sandler. It's not your grandson. He's over there, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And Adam Sandler. He's like, yeah, Adam Sandler. I'm in the entertainment world or whatever. He just like goes on and starts talking to my grandfather.
Right.
And I was just like, dude, this guy is, you hang out with him a lot, right? Not a lot, probably now.
Right.
But are these guys, I feel like his work ethic is, I hear like on set, it's like, how is he on set when he's direct? Because he directs in a way, doesn't he?
I guess he does direct, but he's never the director.
Mm-hmm.
But he inputs a lot, you know, and they the director will do what he wants done, you know.
Of course.
But yeah, he is kind of like that. It's that kind of a, I'm in my office, you know. It's not like yelling. It's just the way he is.
It's just the way he is.
Yeah.
Like Unhappy Gilmore, would he yell things at?
You yell from the director's chair or that area from the video tent.
Like,
try the other way. No, don't walk so fast.
Does it intimidate you or you just go with it?
Not at all.
Like you enjoy it.
It's just like it's like a boys club. It's kind of like, you know, he's, you know, we're just hanging out. We've just finished playing basketball and, you know, just do this, you know, grab my bag, you know, whatever. So you don't take anything personally.
Yeah, I always yell. People think you're yelling, stop yelling. I'm like, no, I'm loud.
You know, it's funny. You know, directing is a really interesting occupation because you really... Everybody's like waiting on you, for your advice and stuff. And even on this hiking show I do, sometimes I'll hear myself, you know, as I play it back, I'm editing, I'll give them orders like don't stand so close to me, you know, or come up a little further so you're more in the camera. And I think, boy, I'm kind of mean. I gotta be a little nicer. I know.
You're just in the moment. I know. Yeah. I know. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. Can you say please, maybe?
Yeah. You're like, no. Go over there. Go over there. No.
Come
stop.
Back.
Hey,
come
I
back.
Can see that light over there. You sound like a dick.
Yeah.
But you're
exactly.
not meaning. You're in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who had the, like, if you think back, was there people on set, like, that you've worked with? It could be SNL. It could be on Weeds. It could be in your life that you just remember always had sort of like a temper or an attitude or something. You were just like, God, that guy's just, there's something going on. Were you just like, I don't like working with this person. I really don't like.
Oh, Brando. Yeah. Brando, of course.
There's got to be guest stars, like, or, you know, the guest host to come in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like,
everybody asks us who the worst guest host.
Oh, do they? But, because yeah. I know that, what's his name, said it was Bieber.
Adrian Brody?
No, Bieber. I heard was
Oh,
really
I wasn't
bad.
There for that one. I'd say, you know, everybody's like terrified on that show that are hosting, and they become your best friends and they want to be liked. So it's rare that they would kind of make waves. Although it was Bronson Pinchot was on when I was there. Remember that? Bronson Pinchot? Do you know the actor?
No.
Oh, okay. He was on a TV series and movies. But he would question, like, why would I walk over from the oven to the table?
Oh.
And we go, because it's a sketch.
It's
and it doesn't
real.
Matter.
From Perfect Strangers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, really talented
That's
guy.
That's Valky, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Why don't you just say Valky?
And some movies.
Yeah, yeah, he was in the Eddie
Cop.
Murphy movie. Yeah, Beverly
yeah,
Hills Cop.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know the name, though.
Right. Are you good with names? Have you known people for a long time and you don't really know what their name is?
Sometimes.
Like on the set, like the cameraman or something?
Yeah, I'm usually, see, that's probably one of my problems. I always want to please. So I try to learn everybody's name. I'm one of those actors that go, hey, Rob, hey, John, second AC,
yeah.
Hey, Dick. Do you? Or do you stay away from that?
I try to remember their names, but I'm not good. And then once after it's past a certain time period, you can't ask them what their name is.
Yeah, you just have...
You got to take their wallet and go through it when they're not looking.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> What's the most fun you've ever had in terms of like work?
The Tonight Show. The first Tonight Show I
the
did.
The first time Johnny Carson.
Carson. Yeah. That was the most exciting, and nothing has surpassed that.
So...
At this point.
Isn't that sort of hard to deal with, like, in terms of life? It's like, okay, this is the best thing and nothing's ever reached that again. It's almost like when you do ecstasy the first time or something. Not that I've done that.
After SNL, I thought to myself, would anything ever kind of supersede this? You know, would anything be better than this? And nothing was for a while. And then Weeds came along. And
yeah.
I thought, this is cool in a different way. Yeah, I like this. You know, but that's the great thing. There's about this business, why a lot of people don't quit is you don't know what's coming around the corner.
See, that's why you're always creating. That's why you don't stop, because you want that next thing.
Also, you know, the best advice I'd give somebody starting out is don't wait for people to come to you. You got to create your own stuff.
That's
which is a lot easier now too, with all the platforms and all the technology.
Yeah.
You know, you can take a cell phone and make a short movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's hard.
There's no excuse now for someone just sitting home going, oh, this isn't working out for me.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's what most people in Hollywood say. Like, oh, I'm writing the script. I'm writing this, directing this movie. I'm like, I didn't want to be that guy. So I said, I'm going to direct a movie. I don't care. I'm going to make this movie. I said, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. You know, I think that's what I'm going through now is I'm trying to do, like, you know, I always wanted to do stand up and I let fear get in the way. Is there anything you won't do besides porn?
I won't skydive.
I won't either.
No.
Rob?
No, I won't.
I mean, I would if I had to jump out of a plane that was crashing. I would.
Yes, that's different. That's survival.
Yeah. But I wouldn't, you know, be mean to somebody.
Unless it was on camera.
Unless they needed it. They really needed it, you know.
Yeah. How often do you go on stage?
It varies. You know, when I'm doing this show, I'm on a sitcom with Matt LeBlanc called Man with a Plan.
Yeah.
On Monday nights. When we're shooting that, I get out maybe once a week. And when I'm not shooting that, maybe twice a week in town. And then I just stay home the other nights, unless I'm traveling. Like this week, I'm going skiing. Tomorrow, I'm going skiing.
With the son,
to Utah.
With the 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll cry.
Maybe.
Maybe this is the week you'll cry.
And then I'll come home for an afternoon, and then I go to New York to do the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and to do Caroline's. Yeah. And then I'm back the following week. So I'm always kind of doing stand-up.
That's a pretty incredible life. I mean, you're 65. You don't look it, but 65, and you're doing all this shit. Are you claustrophobic still?
No.
Not at all?
No. You could put me in a grave and bury me and leave me there
That's
for three
bullshit.
Years, and I'd still be
you're
fine.
Fine.
Yeah.
Nothing scares you. Nothing. You have
no, I didn't say that. I get scared a lot. The boogeyman scares me.
The boogeyman. Yeah. Do you still have? Do you have nightmares ever? Do you dream a lot?
You know, I do dream a lot. Yeah.
But what do you dream nightmares. Of?
Just going places, flying a lot. I'm in an airplane a lot, an airliner, going over a city street through buildings.
Really?
Yeah.
I've done that where we're actually the plane is going through, the city, like driving, right?
Not on the ground. We're about maybe taking off and we're not gaining altitude and we're just staying at a certain level going through the streets, missing telephone poles and wires, you know, because I fly a lot and I think about, you know, it's probably in my head. But get back to you.
Where do you think you'll be in like when you're 75, 80? What do you want to be doing? Do you want to be done with this business
or no,
do you want to
still like create? Yeah.
Do you want to be one of those guys? Who's a guy who passed away recently? Very funny comedian. Don Rickles,
yeah,
who's in Vegas at 90 years old or whatever. Do you want to be that guy?
I don't know if I want to be in Vegas when I'm that, but I don't want to be working on the road when I'm that age, unless I'm enjoying it. In our business, we don't really retire because we like doing it. And we, you know, we keep working and it's fun.
What do your wife and you do for fun? Do you go out to dinner a lot? Do you keep it romantic?
We don't go out to dinner a lot, but we should. We need to do that more.
What
we
do you travel. Do to keep it?
We travel together. To Europe every summer.
Is she going skiing or just you and your son?
Just me and my son.
Right. Does she have the girls? Cool. She goes out with the girls?
Occasionally. She's more of a homebody. She likes to read.
This has been a real treat. Did you enjoy this, Rob? Because, I mean, it's not that you weren't a big Kevin Nealon fan.
Rob, have you ever heard of me?
Yeah.
You have?
I've shot photos of you before.
You what?
I've shot photos of you before.
That's right. You have.
Did you remember that?
And I watched
Kevin?
Weeds.
Kevin, do you remember him shooting photos of you?
I don't remember him particularly, but I remember there was a time somebody was taking pictures of me.
You looked at him. He says, I took pictures of you. Oh, yeah, that's right. Like you had any fucking clue that he took pictures of you.
Where was it again?
It was at UCB on Sunset. It was only like a year ago.
Yeah, I don't remember anything after a month.
Do you have a funniest joke you've ever told? You have one of those.
No, but I heard a joke the other day that made me laugh
Let's
a lot.
Hear it.
First of all, I don't tell a lot of jokes. I used to tell jokes when I was a kid. And now I realize how annoying it is for somebody who likes to tell. Have you heard this one? How about this one? You know,
yeah.
This guy's hitchhiking, and he gets picked up, and the hitchhiker goes to the driver. It's really nice of you to pick me up, but it's kind of risky, isn't it? Picking up hitchhikers. How do you know I'm not a serial killer? And the driver looks at him. He goes, "What are the odds of two serial killers being in the car at the same time?"
That's good. Good. That's really good.
Short, you know.
Short.
You're not
sweet.
Taking up a lot of the person's time telling him this long joke.
Did you see the Gilbert Godfrey documentary?
No. Did he die?
No, but that's what usually happens. Yeah. Right? There's a documentary. Oh my god, that episode. No, but he does this joke, and it wasn't even. I don't know why I laughed, because maybe I'm Jewish, but this Jewish grandmother and the her grandson, they're at the beach, and the grandson goes out in the water, and he's just like drowning or whatever.
Yeah.
So Gilbert tells a story. He's like, and the child's drowning, and the grandmother's screaming her face off, and this guy goes out in the water, and he beats off a shark. He doesn't actually beat off a shark, but he beats the shark, and he goes around, and he grabs the child, and he swims 10 miles in, and he puts the child, he does CPR, and everybody's clapping, and the grandmother comes over and says, he had a hat.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it fucking killed me.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Gilbert Godfrey. I mean, I love that joke.
Yeah, that's a good joke. That one's been around for a while.
Have you been in trouble? Have you been in trouble ever? You said something politically incorrect, or you got the heat, or you said something and people booed you, or?
Not really.
No.
No, I haven't been.
You don't get political, really, do you?
I get scared. You know, I have a drone. I fly a drone for my hiking show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I assume that it's illegal everywhere. You know, so when I go on a trail, I really do it in a really discreet way. You know, hide in the bushes and I'll send it up and, you know. And,
wait, you control the drone?
Yeah.
You don't have like a crew with?
No.
It's just you?
Yeah. But sometimes like a helicopter will fly by and I think, oh, I'm busted. And I'll get like really like weak in the knees, you know. Like,
you'll think
oh,
you're going to get arrested or in
I'm
trouble
get
for
fined
this.
Or arrested.
Every time.
Well, it doesn't happen a lot, but like I was in Griffith Park once and there was some helicopters, like one helicopter, like, you know, maybe a mile away. You know, and I thought, oh, they got some kind of device. They could pick up drones and they got a heat seeking kind of a radar thing, you know. but no.
Do you get paid for these hiking with Kevin?
Well, there's monetized on YouTube. So like over a year, you get maybe $1,500.
Because I think it's really funny, and I'm like, why isn't this? This is something you guys got to watch. You should go on his Instagram. I think they're hilarious.
What's on my YouTube channel now?
And the YouTube channel now.
Yeah, right? It's youtube.com/KevinNealonComedy or, you know, hashtag hiking with Kevin.
They're just a blast.
I've been having so much fun doing these things. Then I go home and I edit them. I love to edit.
Yeah.
And then I got the drone. You know, I'm learning more about YouTube, how to make a YouTube channel sing, you know, how to make it really.
Tell me. I don't know. I'll tell you, man.
There's a lot of little tricks.
A lot of tricks.
I didn't want to learn about that. I just wanted to create content. But now you got to learn about all that.
Do your friends love going? Like on the show, they're like, yeah, I'll go, I'll do it. Are they all up for it?
Some of them I've been like after for a long time to do it.
Like, who's the guy you've been always calling? Like, come on.
Well, Hillary Swank's a friend of mine. And she's promised me to do this hike for like a year and a half. And today we're finally doing it.
You're doing it today.
Yeah.
With Hillary Swank.
Uh-huh.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's great.
What a talent.
So talented.
Who's the some of the other actors you had? You had Dana Carvey, you had David Spade.
I've done about 50 hikes. I've had everyone from, you know, Conan, Adam Sandler, yeah. Jimmy Kimmel, Owen Wilson.
You just email them.
Tiffany Haddish. What I did was I went through my friends first that I knew and got them. And then I started going through publicists.
Oh, you do the publicist now. Yeah. Kevin Nealon has a show.
Yeah. I send them my whole thing. I send them like.
You know, maybe I should do that too.
You know what you do? You got to put the people that have been on your show, because that's what I know as an actor. If somebody says, hey, will you come and do my show? These are the people that have done it. That kind of helps.
Well, did I do that with you? I don't even think I did that. I think
no,
you just said yes.
I didn't even care.
You didn't care. You were seer that kind
I knew
of
you
guy.
Needed help.
You needed help. I swear to God, you beat me to it. I needed help. Well, look, this has been a real treeping inside of you today.
Look, this is what politicians say before they say
look.
Something. Look. The Congress has been, you know, look, listen, look. What, should I look or should I listen?
What was it? Was it Seinfeld? He was, I forgot what it was. He was on, it was some documentary or whatever, but he goes, why do people always do that? Why do they say, I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to start with that. You're going to tell me anyway.
That's right.
This is the thing. All right, just say the thing.
Yeah. This has been a real treat.
Have you had fun?
It's been fun. Just even to see your house.
Yeah, well, I didn't even show you the rest of it. I'll show you. I got more toys and signed shit if you want to see it. But look, if you run out of guests on your show, on your hiking show,
yeah.
If you ever run out of guests.
I'll never run out of guests.
And let me know.
Yeah, and by the way, I'll promote it on here. I'll say, hey.
That'd be awesome. I'm going to get to everybody. I have a lot of comedian friends.
Eventually, no matter when it is, I'm in.
Yeah, you're going to be in. I'm getting everybody, man. What I'm doing first is try to get some like these major icons on, you know, to help me grab some attention. And then I just work down.
That's what I'm doing.
I'll get to you like maybe in a couple of years.
Sure. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. In the meantime, I want you to help me as much as you can.
You're just so likable. You want to help you. Even if you don't need help, you just, can I get you something? What can I do?
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So what's coming up that people can go look at you?
Hiking with Kevin on YouTube.
And you're still touring. You're still doing stand-up.
Touring, yeah. They go to my website, kevinnealon.com. You can see my touring schedule there.
Wow, this has been great. That's it.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot.
But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.